Hello, and thank you for being part of BioNews Services' official coverage of Ectomies 2017. Dr. Seek, in May, Acinumab failed to meet its primary goal in the Synergy trial, that of lesser disability. But at the time, Biogen announced that two intermediate doses appeared to be most effective in relapsing MS patients. Biogen has now presented a pharmacokinetic analysis of the treatment, of the investigative treatment of Acinumab, which supported the use of a fixed 750 milligram dose in future trials instead of the per kilogram dosing in the phase 2 study. Is there additional data that could explain why the lowest and highest doses failed to show efficacy?
Thanks, Grace. There's a lot in your question. So as you've heard, we're initiating and very happy to initiate a phase 2 study with obicinumab called the Affinity Study, in which we will randomize 240 patients who are on background anti-inflammatory disease-modifying therapies to either obicinumab and placebo for 72 weeks. And indeed, this study is only possible because we learned a lot from the Synergy study that you alluded to earlier. In fact, what we saw was the inverted U-shaped dose response that you referred to, in particular that the 10 milligram per kilogram dose group appeared to do best across multiple clinical endpoints and sensitivity analyses. And it is indeed that dose that we have taken forward, and the 10 milligram per kilogram dose corresponds to a fixed dose of 750 milligrams, which is what we're using in the trial, given once a month intravenously, right? Because that would be of interest to the patients. It's a once monthly infusion. And so in addition to the dose, we believe that the Synergy study has allowed us to identify a patient population that might particularly benefit from obicinumab. And what we did was we conducted a hypothesis agnostic post hoc analysis on the data, including baseline demographics and MRI characteristics, and we have a poster tomorrow. There's even a little video clip on that poster, which you might find interesting. And so we included all these demographic and MRI characteristics and put them into a multi-system modeling approach. And out of that approach emerged three factors that were predictive of a treatment response based on a measure of disability that we developed for the Synergy study that we call the overall response score, or ORS for short, which integrates improvement of disability and worsening over time based on a number of components like the EDSS, which the MS world is very familiar with, nine-hole peg test looking at upper limb function, and timed 25-foot walk, which looks at walking. Right? So based on that, we identified three three predictive factors, and that's disease duration less or equal to 20 years, and two MRI characteristics in pre-existing T2 lesions. And that's very interesting because one of them is suggests that there's a relative loss of myelin in the lesion as measured by MTR, which stands for magnetization transfer ratio, a relatively new MRI measure. And the other is a measure that suggests relative structural integrity in the lesion. And that's measured by diffusion tensor imaging radial diffusivity, or DTI-RD. So the biologic plausibility there is quite compelling because what it suggests is that you have a scaffold upon which you can repair the myelin that's broken, right, or damaged. but that structure is relatively speaking intact,
right?
So the axonal suggestion, right? And so that's a very compelling biologic hypothesis, and then coupled with in the subpopulation seeing benefits on clinical endpoints, such that fewer patients in the subpopulation worsened on their disability and more patients improved their disability, right? Coupled with the fact that where we saw really no impact on MRI measures associated with myelin repair in the original study, in the Synergy study, in the subpopulation based on the post-hoc analysis, we now see effects on brain atrophy, on MTR and DTI, all moving in the right direction.
So, and this was within that
the subpopulation, which represents in the study at least around 25 to 30% of the study population on Avonex, right? Because Synergy was conducted on a background of an interferon, exactly. And so, taken together, that's very exciting. That you may have actually, or that we may have, identified a population that specifically could benefit from a neuro repair approach using remyelination, and the aim is to improve disability, right? Not to slow the disability progression of sometime in the future, which is what the anti-inflammatories do, but to improve the pre-existing disability that patients have today. And I mean, nobody's ever achieved repair of the human central nervous system, right? So this is it's a very exciting time. It's a time of great learning and opportunity.
This subpopulation that has been identified, how representative are they? Is this subpopulation of the relapsing MS population? And are they patients who particularly are younger patients, earlier stage disease? Is that what we're talking about, the myelin being somewhat stable? Is that what is being seen here coming from the Synergy group?
We're actually exploring how representative they are of the general MS population in this new study by including more patients than simply patients on one particular interferon, which is Avonex, right? Because from the Synergy study, we learned what was specific to this population.
That was
to
the reason for opening up.
Exactly. And that was the express reason for opening it up to other disease-modifying therapies that are differentiated by mechanism of action and maybe even relative efficacy, right? So we've now opened the study to really three big groups of disease-modifying therapies, the interferons, right? Because we had Avonex in the Synergy study, so there's a nice link. But you can be on any interferon for that matter. The second group is an oral disease-modifying therapy, Tecfidera. Mm-hmm. And the third is an infusion, the Tysabri.
Right.
And so that's the express aim, to open it up to more patients and see if...
And to get the sense of the general...
Exactly, to get a sense. Mm-hmm. Because that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are these so... Was there a feeling that there was the younger patients and earlier stage disease, were the patients that in Synergy responded best and may be those?
So in the Synergy study, we did pre-specified subgroup analysis, mm-hmm. where patients were divided at the median by age and other baseline characteristics, and that's what that analysis suggested. But we did the said post-hoc analysis, in which all the demographic and MRI characteristics were actually allowed to compete with each other in this model. And what came out in that model is the three factors I mentioned, where disease duration less than 20 years was a predictor of treatment effect. So it's opened up the aperture.
Right. think you answered my question as to why the study, the affinity study, is open to other DMTs.
And I think the key thing is we're trying to learn as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other than from a scientific perspective, that being very, very exciting, from a clinical perspective, if you can really improve patients' disability, mm-hmm. that's huge, right? And the other thing that's compelling about the study is that patients are allowed to stay on their background disease-modifying therapy. They don't have to come off anything and switch to anything that gets...
Right, it's being defined as being added on. Right, it's being defined as an add-on therapy in this trial.
Yes, exactly.
Was there anything that the different analyses that were done of Synergy, was there anything that has led to actually looking a bit beyond abacinumab and looking into other regenerative therapies or the potential for really focusing and developing regenerative therapies as opposed to treatments? Actually looking, you know, not just with this, but what was there, what, has anything, come insights come out of it that might be used
more widely
in the, yes, in the development of other regenerative therapies?
Well, we certainly hope so, but we're in the learning phase, right?
Right.
So we'll have to see how much of those insights are applicable across the field, but we are certainly very much in the learning and exploration phase.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anything, any final point you would like to make or something you would like to further expand on?
I would, if I may. So I think this is a really, really exciting time for MS, because there are a number now of approved anti-inflammatory disease-modifying therapies, so patients have options, many, many more options than they used to have in the past, and we as a company are very committed to advancing the care of patients with MS. And I think that that commitment speaks loudly, especially as we think about what other approaches are there, what else can we do to improve disability. And I think that the affinity study is a particularly good example of that commitment to learn and further our understanding of science, but really to try and improve the lives of patients.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.